Right now, there's about 17,000 language groups that are unreached in the world today. Imagine that, 17,000 language groups still that have no church in their society, have no Bible in their language, and have had no chance to hear the gospel even once. Isn't that just blow your mind? That in this modern day and age are still 17,000 groups that don't have the gospel. And yet, God has told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, I want to talk to you about our part here in each one of our lives. Basically, most people in Fiji, and in, I'm going to put Fiji and Canada all together, okay? Most people in our countries don't share the gospel because they don't know where to do it or with whom to share. They don't know how to start a conversation that leads to a sharing of the gospel, and they don't know how to end the conversation, and there's so much unknown involved that we tend not to share with people at all, and we just stop, and that's where we end. And yet, if they're going to know the gospel, somebody's going to have to share it with them, and we can't wait on our pastors to do it because they can't reach everybody. There's just no way that they can reach everybody. That's why we're all so important in God told us all to share with our friends and with our neighbors. And that's kind of what I want to talk to you about this morning. This, what I'm going to share with you has helped me so much in mission work that I just can't keep it inside. And I pray that it will help you as well to see how we can share and how we can be sure that our amazing spirit guide, if you go to the next slide, our amazing spirit guide is the title of my message today. And I'd like to just read from Acts chapter 8. This is the account of the Ethiopian eunuch. Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. And down to 39. And this amazing passage, every one of us could be called Philip, right? Because we are believers, we know the Lord Jesus, and God can talk to us through His Holy Spirit and tell us what He wants us to do. I'd like to read now from Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 26, about how God used Philip. And then we'll examine it for ourselves. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which leads down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he, Philip, arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare this generation? For his life was taken from the earth." And so the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does this prophet say this, of himself or of another man?" Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And so he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. May the Lord add his blessing to his word today. As what we see in that story is that the amazing Holy Spirit led Philip to share the gospel with the eunuch on the road that day. And that same Holy Spirit will guide you and I today if we will let him. Amen? That same Holy Spirit will guide you and I today if we will let him. And I want us to see that we, next slide, that we can, the Holy Spirit enables us to share the gospel with the unsaved. The Holy Spirit will enable us to share the gospel with the unsaved if we step out in faith and trust him. So you could ask, how and in what way does the Spirit lead us? Next slide. In what way does the Spirit lead us? Well, this passage illustrates three practical ways that the Holy Spirit enables us to share the gospel. There's three keys that we're going to be looking here for as we see how the Spirit worked. First of all, the Holy Spirit, next slide. The Holy Spirit will enable us to share the gospel by leading us to the opportunity, number one. He will do it by leading the conversation and guiding the conversation. He will do it by leading to the outcome. Now let's see where how we find that in there. Let's go to the next slide. The Holy Spirit enables us to share the gospel by leading us to the opportunity. Where do we see that? We see that in the next verses, if you share, go. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." And so he arose and went. Let's go to the next slide as well. Pardon me. You can stay there. In the beginning of Acts chapter 8, we see that persecution has already started in the church at this time. There's the believers have been driven out of Jerusalem. The only people left there are the apostles. And they're continuing to share the gospel. And Philip is busy preaching in Samaria. And the Holy Spirit comes to him and tells him, "I want you to go to a specific place, which is desert. It's not a place that normally would be used to preach, but he said, I want you to go there." Next slide. "And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he's reading Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said to Philip, 'Go near and overtake this chariot.' And so he went to, and so Philip ran to him." What do we see in this passage about the opportunity is the location that he was to share in. He was to go down to the road going south from Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit clearly guided Philip as to where he was to go. And he also told him that it was desert and that it was a deserted place. And yet, Philip did not argue with the Holy Spirit. He got up and went and did what he was asked to do. The Holy Spirit didn't only tell him the location he was to go to. The Holy Spirit also told him the person that he was to speak to. He was an Ethiopian. He was a Gentile from a faraway country. This was a country that had not had the gospel ever before. And it was through a man that was forbidden to enter the temple. Eunuchs were not permitted to go into the temple because they were damaged property. They were not allowed to go in and learn in the temple. And yet this eunuch was so hungry. What was he doing? He was reading the scriptures. He was seeking for the truth. Okay? And God knew that he was seeking, and so God brought Philip to that person, brought Philip to the man who was needing the Lord and who was looking for the Lord. And so we see how important it is to follow step by step. God first told him to go to the location, and as he got up and went to the location, God led him to the man that he was to talk to. And he was a man from far away. He was a Gentile man. He wasn't a Jew. And the Jews, they thought that they were the ones that really mattered. And they didn't think the Gentiles mattered at all. But did the Holy Spirit care about the Gentile? Absolutely. You and I, most of us here today are Gentiles. And if the Holy Spirit didn't care about you and about me, we wouldn't have salvation. We would be lost. We would be going to hell forever. But because the Holy Spirit cares about all people, he cares about the evangelized, he cares about the church, of course, but he also cares about the people outside the church. He cares about our community. He cares about the people that we meet every day. Just an illustration. Next slide, please. Next one. Okay. This family here. God led us to this family when we first got to Fiji to work with Muslim people. We were driving down the road one day. We see this fella, and he's got a Bible. It looked like a Bible with red cover, red stuff around the edge. But instead of walking toward the church on a Sunday morning like everybody else was doing, he was walking away from the church. And we do our visiting on Sunday morning as well. We don't go to church there because the people that we want to visit are at home on Sunday morning. And the chance that we're going to find the men at home is best on Sunday, so that's when we visit them. We see this guy walking away from the church. I thought, I'm going to stop and talk to this guy, see why he's not going to the church. So I ask him. He said, well, I'm going to visit a family over here and share Jesus with them. I said, hallelujah, brother. You know, I'm with you. This is the same page we're on. And so I said, you know what? Who would you take us? You know, where are you from? He said, I've lived here all my life. I was born here. I know everybody that was ever here. I know them. So I said, well, could you please take us to a Muslim family that you think might be interested in the gospel? He said, sure. So he took us to this family. As soon as we talked to them, they said, yes, we would be more than happy to study the Bible. We are looking for to understand more. And so we studied the Bible with them for about a year. Every once a week, we would go there. And if we happened to be busy or whatever, they'd phone us and say, are you coming this week? Did you forget about us? And so we would go and we would study with them. Well, within about a year, this poor guy died. 36 years old. Just bang, he died. And I believe he went to be with Jesus because he accepted all the teachings from the Bible. He accepted that Jesus was the only way to be saved. He accepted, now I don't know for sure, but he knew the truth and he accepted it. So he died, and now his wife and her the Son have both also come to know the Lord. And so we continue to disciple them, continue to share God's love and the Bible with them. And we praise God that our children are there as well now, and that they also are working with these same people. And so it's just such a blessing to see how God led us on the right road, and He led us to the right family, and we shared with them, and we saw how God can lead a person to the place and to the person He wants us to go to. And so what I just want to share with you, whether you're shopping in a store, whether you're sitting in a doctor's office, whether you're waiting wherever you are, there's unsaved people there. Amen? And they are waiting for somebody. We don't know who they are. We don't know what their response is going to be. But they're there. And God leads us there for a reason. And that doesn't mean that every person that we sit down beside and talk to about the Lord is going to come to the Lord or even want the Lord. But it's our opportunity to share with them. Now, what I want to do is just show you a little more here. How, next slide. Okay, so the Lord, the Holy Spirit will lead us to the right location. He'll lead us to the right person, and we give us that opportunity to share. And could give you so many examples of how God has done that for us, but I don't have time. But you'll get your own examples. Next slide. This next passage shows how God, the Holy Spirit, enables us to share the gospel by leading the conversation. And this is one of the things that stop people and stop me from sharing, is I don't know how to do it. I don't know if I'm going to be able to carry the conversation. You know, it's natural to feel afraid that we're going to get stuck somewhere and we're not going to know what to say, right? But you know, I have seen the Lord so many times intervene. And just like He did for this man. Let's go to the next slide. Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip showed an interest in this man and a willingness to help. All he is doing here is offering a hand. He's offering help to this person and showing loving concern. Notice he observed what was going on. He paid attention to what was going on in this guy's life. He's reading the Bible. Okay, now does he understand what he's reading? And he said, "How can I unless someone guide me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. See how the Holy Spirit just caused this eunuch to invite him, Philip, to come up and sit and talk with him. And the place in the scripture, I won't go into that, where he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shears is silent." Who is this talking about? Yeah, he's talking about Jesus. And so the man says, "Who is he really talking about?" If we go to the next slide, I think we'll see it. So the eunuch said, "I ask you, whom does this prophet say this, of himself or some other man?" Right? So he's saying, is Isaiah talking about himself being like a sheep or somebody else that's like a sheep? And gave Philip the chance to say, yeah, he's talking about the Lamb of God. The Lamb of God that gave his life as a sacrifice for the sins of mankind. Do you think the Holy Spirit led in this conversation? Yes. Amen. Well, you know what? Is the Holy Spirit the same today that He was back then? Yes. Amen. Do you believe that the Holy Spirit could guide you? Yes. Amen. He can, and He does. So many times, I tell you, I had got a ticket for not stopping at a stop sign in Airdrie. when I first got back here. Sorry about that, but that's just what happened. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and I wasn't stopped. And so it was quite a big ticket. And so I thought, well, I'm going to go cry, you know, here, and maybe you'll lower the price. So anyway, I go to the court thing there in Airdrie, and the room is just packed with people. And I sat on the floor, and then after some of the people got their thing and left, and so there was a chair open. And as soon as I saw the chair open, I didn't look at who was sitting there. I just got up and I went right to the chair to sit down on a chair because the concrete was cold. Well, after I sit down, I kind of look around. Well, who am I sitting with? And there was a lady on this side and a man on this side and a man with a beard. And I said to him, in our country where I come from, I said, usually the beard says something. It means something when you wear a beard. He said, yeah, it means something where I come from too. So I said, what does it mean? He said, it means I'm a Muslim. And I said, and where are you from? Ethiopia. Ethiopia. And I was studying this passage. And here's this man sitting there. And you know what? We had the most awesome talk. He would show a verse in the Quran. He would ask me for a verse in the Bible. And we're sitting there talking for a really, believe it or not, for 4 hours waiting on the judge to get done. And we had the best talk I've ever had with the Muslim man about salvation. Not only that, but all the people that were in hearing distance, we were not talking quiet. We were talking loudly about Jesus and about the Bible and John 3:16 and Acts 16:31 and all these verses. Do you think that was an accident? God guided that conversation. Now, I'm not saying I did everything right, because my mind goes blank too sometimes. And yet I know in the end he said, you know what? You got the Bible on your phone there. Could I have that app so I can read the Bible? And I want to know what you're talking about. I didn't know the Bible talked like that, you know? And so the Lord just opens that up. And that's how... what I saw there was, you know, following what Philip did, he asked a simple question. Do you understand? He showed that he wanted to help the person. Okay? So the Holy Spirit guides to the location. He guides to the person. And then he guides the conversation. And I've learned it's so wonderful to be able to open a conversation by greeting people in a friendly way with a nice smile. And somehow looking for a way that maybe you can help them. Have you ever, you know, say something like, have you ever read the Bible? Does it make any sense to you? Would you like to understand more about the Bible? So amazing. You know, there was a Muslim couple in Lacombe last week. And I saw them sitting. She had the hijab on. She was sitting at the table there in one of the restaurant thing there. And I just felt the Lord just say, go and talk to that couple. So I just went over and sat down beside them at the booth and talked to them. And they're from Algeria, North Africa. Solid Muslim country. It doesn't get any more solid Muslim country than that. And God brought us right to them right to where I was in Lacombe. And they said, yeah, we would love to meet with you to study the Bible. Because we're looking into learning more about religion. Okay? Well, Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship with God. But that's okay. I don't worry about that as long as they'll meet with me. Right? So... anyway, that's just by being friendly is where we start. And so many times we're afraid of people. If you're like me, you go into Tim Hortons, you're afraid of those people. But it's not natural just to reach out to them, you know? And yet, it happens. God can allow us to do that. And we see how the Holy Spirit guided in the conversation. And something that I want us to see, if you go to the next slide or two, okay, this is important. No, go back. The Holy Spirit will lead in the conversation. Charles Spurgeon, you've all heard of him. He said, preach Christ or nothing. Don't dispute or argue except with your eye on the cross. There's no use talking about what day we should worship the Lord. That isn't going to get you to heaven. There's no use talking about stuff over on this side that don't matter, you know, and arguing about what church or what Bible or what this or what that. That isn't what matters, is it? The thing, the person that matters is the person that can save. And so we want to focus however we can to get talking about Jesus. And that's, I've noticed so many times, you start talking about Jesus and things happen. Either people get really angry or disgusted or they don't want to talk to you anymore, or they actually get really soft and they somehow seem to open up just like a flower and say, yeah, I heard about Jesus back when I was a kid, but I haven't heard about him since. Yeah, so God works and he will help in the conversation. This happened with this lady. Next slide. This lady was a Muslim lady and she said, I was born a Muslim, I'll die a Muslim. I am not interested in your gospel. I'm not interested in your Jesus. I'm going to die a Muslim. One day I woke up and I had amazing feeling. I had to go and talk to Jasmina and tell her more about Jesus. And so I went, and that day I talked to her about the Lord. I tried to share the gospel with her more completely than I'd ever done before. And at the end of the conversation, I said to her, Jasmina, if you ever should decide that you want to have your sins forgiven, I would love to be with you when you do it. When you pray and tell Jesus that you want him to save you. And she said, now. And I thought she misunderstood me, so I repeated myself. And she said, I want to accept Jesus now. And you know, she received the Lord, that dear lady, that was about 6 or 7 years ago. As a Muslim lady, she just poured out her heart to the Lord and ask him to forgive her sin and take her to heaven when she die. And she said, and Lord, I want to die soon. And the poor lady had to live for 6 years before God took her home. But when he did, she had witnessed to her Muslim neighbors and her Muslim family, so much so that when we had her funeral in a Christian church, one side of the church was packed with Muslim people. And they'd never been in a church before. But they all said, you know, they said, Jasmina was so blessed by God to have come to know you people. And basically what they're saying is, we want to know you too, aren't they? And so we got their names, their phone numbers, and one by one we've been trying to visit each one of those families and share with them. And so that's how God works. God guides in the conversation and what the people need to hear. And so next slide. So the Holy Spirit guides in how to open our conversation by being friendly and a smile. And just who can turn down a nice person with a big smile? Hello, my name is Daryl, you know, and I'm so happy to meet you. What are you doing here today? Where are you heading? You know, And so it's not as hard as we think. How to expand the conversation? Well, just by being helpful. Show that you want, can I help you fix your garden today? Can I help you, you know, fertilize your sugar cane? Can I help you start your old car? You know, there's so many ways that we can help. And it's not offensive. And when we start doing that, then people say, oh, what about you? What do you do for a living? What are you all about? You know, where do you work? Blah, blah, blah. First thing you know, things start to open up. Can you see how that happens? And then this is probably every bit as important as anything, is we got to focus on Jesus. And that's what Philip was right in there, in the right spot, that it's the Lamb of God that saves. It's nobody else. It's not going to a church. It's not reading your Bible every day. It's not praying every day. That's not what saves us. Jesus is the one who went to the cross and took our sins there on himself and paid it. Amen? And that's so important. Now, not only does he lead us to the location and the person, not only does he lead us in the conversation, but he will also lead right up to the end. If you go to the next slide, Holy Spirit will enable us to share the gospel by even leading to the outcome. And so if we go to the next slide, we see the scripture. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. Next slide. And so he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down the water, and he baptized him. And when he came up out of the water, Spirit of the Lord led Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. So here we see how God put that puddle of water or that pond of water in exactly the right spot when he was creating the universe. He made a place for that puddle, that pond to be there, so that when the eunuch came along 6,000 years later, or four, however many years it was, he would want, if that puddle had been up when they first started their talk, would he have wanted to be baptized? No. But God, in his wisdom, he built everything around the eunuch so that he would, even the fact that he was a eunuch and he'd be pushed out of the temple, so that he would want and see the value of the Savior. There's so many ways that God set this all up so that when Philip was obedient, this man would come to know Jesus. And he would take the gospel from Israel, Jerusalem, all the way down to Ethiopia, where there was people, unevangelized people, that never had the gospel before. God is so amazing and so faithful. And the same thing goes for us when we talk to people about the Lord. Don't ever think that God hasn't gone before us and prepared the way in amazing ways. And what it requires is that us, as breathing with blood throwing through our body and hair on our head, if we're lucky, that we actually go and talk to people, living, breathing people that believe in Jesus, and go talk to them and let them know, I'm a believer. You know, was in a lineup at a Canadian Tire store somewhere in Red Deer, I think it was. And I forget how the conversation went, but I said, I'm trusting that Jesus will take me to heaven someday. And she said, yep, I'm one of those too. Count me in. Right? So here we have people verbalizing the fact that they're believers. That's what's lacking today, isn't it? We're all like, we're hunched and we're afraid. Oh man, somebody's going to throw a rock at me. if I let them know that I love Jesus. Well, you know, that's Satan's trap, isn't it? And Satan can go straight to where he belongs. Because we're going to share what Jesus has done. And so it's just amazing how the Holy Spirit works. And if we go to another slide or two here, the outcome, back to Saul there. I just want to mention Saul. For years, Saul was persecuting Christians. And I'm sure he probably heard James' testimony before he was stoned. So I'm sure Paul heard the gospel before, didn't he? He wasn't stupid. He was around. He knew what was going on. And yet that day on the Damascus Road, he accepted Jesus. So what I'm trying to say is God's timing in everybody's life is different. Sometimes we get saved at 6. Sometimes we don't give our life until we're 60. Right? The important thing is we give our life to the only one who can save us. We can't earn it, but we can accept the free gift. And we leave it in God's hands. It's not our job to convict or convert anyone. But it is our job to talk to them. It is our job to talk to them and tell them the truth with love. The Holy Spirit will do the work of convincing and converting when it's His time. When I was brought up in the church, but I didn't come to know Jesus until much later in my life. But you know what? I was always looking for peace. I was always looking for peace in my life. And it wasn't until I come to know Jesus that I finally had lasting peace and contentment and satisfaction in my life. And yet I looked for it where I shouldn't have been looking for it all a long time. And since I come to know Jesus, my whole life has been so richly blessed. And I'm not saying I never had problems. You all know that happens. But God is so faithful, isn't He? He's such a wonderful Savior. And so, next slide. I'm just about done. Trust the Holy Spirit to enable you to share the gospel. He will lead us. If we ask Him to, He will lead us to the place and the person. He will lead us in the conversation, how to be friendly, how to show we want to help the people, how to focus on Jesus, and the outcome is up to the Holy Spirit. If they say yes, that's great. If they say no way, that's their choice too. And we have to leave that with them. And that's just the way it is. And one thing that I see here is how can we boldly share the gospel? Well, one thing I've learned is this. Okay, people say, well, I don't know who to share with. Well, think of your 30 people that are unsaved that you know. Okay, 30 people. Write it down on a list. One for every day. First day of the month, second day of the month, third day of the month. Every time you come, as you go through your calendar, pray for that person. Right? So you're praying for 30 people. Doesn't mean you got to pray for 30 minutes about one person, but mention their name to the Lord. Please be with Joe today. Help him in his work or what? Okay, so you got those 30 names, okay? And every month you go back and you continue to pray for those unsaved friends, right? You pick five. Five that God especially lays on your heart. And you pray for them. You pray for them every day, those five people, and ask that God would open up a way that you could meet with them somehow and share Jesus with them. Okay? And so if you find out how are you going to share the gospel with somebody? We're not going to cover that today, but you probably know it, or your pastor will teach you how to share the gospel with these people so that when you do get the chance, you have it ready. Amen? And it's an awesome privilege to be able to share Jesus with other people. It's just such a blessing. And so anyway, that's just something I would share with you. Next slide. The Holy Spirit led me to share with this Muslim man, and he for years he wouldn't have anything to do with knowing about Jesus. Here he's dying. He's about to die, I should say. He's a very sick man. His liver is quit. He's on trying to get dialysis, and it's just a mess. I said to him, "You know what, Dad? I know for sure that when I die, I'm going to go to be with Jesus. Would you like to know the same thing for sure, that you can go be with Jesus?" And he said, "Do you really believe that?" And I thought he was going to mock me. And I said, "Dad, I believe that with all my heart." And I said, "Would you like to pray and ask Jesus to be your Savior too?" And he looked at me and he said, "You know what? I would." Muslim man, his whole life, prayed, asked Jesus to be his Savior. In just the right time, God's timing is perfect. And you know, from I'm nothing special, but God has just somehow, like all people, all of us are the same. The Holy Spirit will work in our life and will use us to touch special people, certain people that he wants to touch. And he wants to use you. He wants to use you. And so next slide. This is a question I get asked often. I'm just about done. Should everybody be a foreign missionary? Well, it's easy to get the impression, maybe in churches and stuff, that unless you're a missionary, you're not really whatever, right? It's maybe easy to get that feeling. But you know what? God never intended for us all to be foreign missionaries. That wasn't his plan. It's not God's plan that everybody be a foreign missionary than it is everybody to go to war and leave to the front lines and leave back home uncared for. Somebody's got to sow the crops at home. Somebody's got to pump the gas at home. Somebody's got to get the food ready for the soldiers that are out there. So it's not God's plan that everybody be a foreign missionary, but every person should be involved in the battle. Every believer should be sharing the gospel with someone else. Amen? That's God's plan. We share with those people that we meet. And God can help us just like he did with that Ethiopian eunuch. And it thrills my heart to see your church right here on the main street of town, where you're right out in front of people. They see that there's a church of faith here. And it causes people to say, "I wonder, someday I'm going to have to get faith too." So I commend you on that. And so every believer, God and the Holy Spirit enables every believer to personally share the gospel with other people. And, you know, it's such a blessing to do that. And the Holy Spirit enables every believer to help others share the gospel as well. And by praying for us in Fiji, you are helping us to share the gospel in Fiji. And I want to send prayer letters to you so that you can pray. If you want, our letter is at the back. You can put your name and your email address there so that we can send you our Fiji prayer letter. And you can pray and help us share the gospel there as well. And we're all part of the team. We all work towards the goal. And when a country wins a war, they don't thank the one soldier that went out there. You know, big deal. So what? He went. He was just doing his job. That's all I'm doing. I'm just doing my job to go out and share. But I need you to stand behind us too and pray for us so that Holy Spirit will use us and prepare the way. And we also need to be praying for you. And so don't be shy about sharing prayer requests from your church with us so that we can pray for you as well. Okay? So that's, we're part of a team. We're all in this battle together. And may God help us all. So next slide. We want to thank you for prayerfully supporting us as we share the gospel in Fiji. I know you've prayed for us in bygone days, and I know you're going to continue to pray for us as well. Thank you, and God bless you. Next slide. We plan to return to Fiji July 17, and for 3 more years. We plan to send out regular prayer updates to you every month, so that you can know, and please continue to support us prayerfully. Be sure that you leave your email address with us. Next slide. And yeah, so here's our email address if you would like it, dkbloom7@gmail.com. And my phone number there if you would like to phone me. So may God bless you, and thank you for your patience as I've babbled on here about. But I hope that seeing Philip and thinking about Philip and how God used him will encourage you that the Holy Spirit is going to help you just as he helped Philip. Amen? So, dear God in heaven, I thank you so much for Faith Community Church here in Black Falls. Thank you for each person who is here. Thank you for the wonderful worship that goes up from this place, and even for this little girl that was dedicated to you through her parents today. Lord, it is thank you for your word. Thank you that you worked through Philip. Thank you that you worked through us in Fiji. Thank you that you worked through this church here in Black Falls. Thank you, Lord, that you are at work and that we can be part of what you're doing, Lord, if we will just open our mouth and put on a smile and start reaching out to the lost. In Jesus' name we pray. Yeah, and thank you that in the past we've reached out to the lost, Lord, and that help us to continue doing it more and more as we go down the track of life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.